Friends, in continuation of our discussion on various topics on the trade finance, we recently concluded the topic on the risk management. Now we are moving towards other unique topic, though it is a combination of whatever we discussed so far. And there will be certain things addition to those things which will be covered under this topic, that is role of RBI and government policies in trade finance. Role of RBI and government policies. Only our discussion will be limited only to that extent in trade finance. There will be various things which will be repeated, but the relevance of repetition is a different. That is why don't be under impression that we have why it is a duplication. It is not a duplication, but relevance to the points will be discussed in a different manner, and whatever we have discussed in relating to the different manner. That is why please listen carefully and understand it very carefully, so that the entire gamut that you will understand in respect of the roles of government agencies, particularly government policies and Reserve Bank of India in the trade finance. So, in short, our objective is to understand how Reserve Bank of India plays a central role in regulating and facilitating the trade finance by establishing the prudential norms, foreign exchange management rules, and operational guidelines. Whereas, alongside of this, there are various Government of India policies, particularly from the Ministry of Commerce and Industry, also from DGFT and Exim Bank, who creates an ecosystem that promotes the support India's international trade. With this background of the objective, our presentation structure will be definitely will concentrate on the Reserve Bank of India's role, then export credit framework from Reserve Bank of India, then RBI guidelines on import transactions, then RBI reporting mechanism for the trade finance, then role of Government of India in trade finance, role of Exim Bank, government credit support and promotion schemes, as well as challenges in the policy and implementation, along with the way forward we will take you through. So friends, you know that Reserve Bank of India is country's central bank and the foreign exchange regulators under the Foreign Exchange Management Act, which plays a very crucial role in establishing the legal and procedural framework for the trade-related financial transactions. It also provides the comprehensive direction and the directions on export and import financing, foreign exchange risk management, trade credits and the settlement mechanism, while it also ensures the prudential regulation of the bank and the financial institutions which are engaged in trade finance. Simultaneously, the Government of India has also formulated certain policies and implemented the policies which are aimed at enhancing the India's export competitiveness. So, improving access to the credit for the micro and small and medium enterprises, that is MSME, and developing the trade-related infrastructure by issuance of this policy by the government, that also we have to see. The flagship programs like the foreign trade policy, interest equalization scheme, remission of the duties and taxes, that is RODTEP, and the recent efforts to enable Indian rupee trade settlement are the evidences of this multi-pronged approach. Now, one by one, we will see the role of Reserve Bank of India and government policies. In a chronological manner, first we'll see the Reserve Bank of India. Reserve Bank of India is apex regulatory authority, which is responsible for formulating and implementing India's monetary and credit as well as the foreign exchange policies. RBI plays a central role in regulating this financial infrastructure, the mechanism through which the cross-border trade transactions are financed and settled. No doubt it is the regulatory power that are primarily derived from the Foreign Exchange Management Act, and it exercises these powers, RBI exercises these powers through the series of master directions, circulars and notifications. So what are the regulations as per the FEMA has been issued by Reserve Bank of India? So under FEMA, RBI governs both current and capital account transactions, and it empowers the authorized dealer banks to process the trade-related foreign exchange transactions. Therefore, RBI issues master directions on export of the goods and services, import of goods and services, merchanting trade transactions, external commercial borrowing and trade credits, and this direction establishes the timeline of the realization and repatriation of the export proceeds, rule for the import payment, and guidelines for the third-party payment and advance remittances. The regulations on trade credit and ECBs. RBI regulates buyer's credit and supplier's credit under the trade credit framework. You know, buyer's credit, we have seen. What is buyer's credit? Buyer's credit is a credit. It is a loan availed by the importer of the goods from the banks and financial institutions abroad through their bankers for making the import payment. And supplier's credit is the credit availed or time period availed from the supplier, from the goods supplier, so as to make the payment on due date. Right? This is the buyer's credit and supplier's credit definition that we have already seen. These short-term credits for import of the capital goods and non-capital goods, and the key aspects includes tenor limit. Tenor means period, time period. Usually up to 3 years for the non-capital goods. Capital goods, 3 years and above. All in cost ceiling will be as per the LIBOR. LIBOR is not there. It is replaced by the benchmark. LIBOR is not there now, a reference rate. It is replacement of the benchmark. For example, SOFR, and eligible borrowers and recognized lenders. Reporting requirement via ECB return form ECB and revised guidelines in 2023-24 under the ECB framework also allows the trade-related borrowing for specific sector under the automatic and approval route. Now, export credit policy and interest subvention. This is all related to RBI we are taking into consideration for discussion. Export credit policies and interest subvention. Now, pre-shipment credit and post-shipment credit in Indian rupees are granted by the Reserve Bank of, by the authorized dealer banks, and concessional rate under the interest equalization scheme is applied to this pre-shipment and post-shipment credit which are granted in Indian rupees. As per the revised interest rate, interest equalization scheme, from April 24, exporters from identified sectors like MSME, which are into the manufacturer, are eligible for interest subvention at the rate of 2% to 3% subsequently. Then INR trade settlement mechanism, Indian rupee trade settlement mechanism, a separate chapter was there and that we have discussed already. However, to cover up this, whatever we have discussed here, RBI has promoted the rupee internationalization for reducing the dependency on hard currency like US dollar. The Reserve Bank of India introduced the INR trade settlement mechanism or framework in 2022, and further it is expanded in 2023 and 24. The key features that we have seen consist of use of special rupee escrow account by opening it by the special by foreign banks and settlement of the export import invoices through this account. Then eligibility of the transactions with the partner countries like Russia, UAE, Sri Lanka and select African nations also there. So this framework is a strategic shift towards the enhancing the India's trade autonomy. Fifth one will be the regulation pertaining to the letter of credit and the bank guarantee. RBI regulates the issuance of confirmation of letter of credit and trade-related bank guarantees, which ensuring the adherence to the global practices such as UCP 600, that is Uniform Rules for Documentary Credit, ICC Publication Number 600. URDG is a Uniform Rules for Demand Guarantees, for International Guarantees, ICC Publication Number 758 under URDG can be used. And it also mandates the capital provisioning and exposure norms for the bank issuing these instruments. Now, monitoring and compliance and reporting is another function of Reserve Bank of India. To ensure the regulatory compliance and mitigate the risk, RBI has established a robust monitoring system. That monitoring system consists of EDPMS, that is tracking the realization of export proceeds. This EDPMS means Export Data Processing and Monitoring System. Similar manner for Import Data Processing and Monitoring System and tracking the import payment, IDPMS has put into the place. XOS and BEF statements for overdue export proceeds can be generated from these systems only. Reporting through the firm's portal for foreign investment related to the trade flow, firm's portal. And in addition to that, there will be master direction on the KYC, require the strict due diligence and trade-related transaction, especially in high-risk jurisdiction. Now, support during the economic disruption. Say, for example, COVID-19, geopolitical tension was arising and the global financial disruption, the RBI has extended the time for realization of export proceeds, provided special refinance to the banks for supporting the export credit, and it allowed the restructuring of the trade credit for sectors under the stress. This also supporting function is also provided by the Reserve Bank of India. Next one is a promotion of digital infrastructure. Promotion of digital infrastructure. How it is promoted? It is promoted through the integration with trades, that is trade receivable discounting system for MSME. Then promotion of EBRC, that is Electronic Bank Realization Certificate. Then collaboration with the government platform like ICEGATE, DGFT and Customs EDI system. And these initiatives enhances the transparency, reduce processing time and improve access to credit for the exporters and especially MSME. RBI framework for export credit consists of the availability and accessibility and affordability of the export credit in India to the central banking by the central banking authority to the authorized dealer banks as well as exporters and importers. The objective of RBI's export credit framework is support Indian exporters, particularly MSME, and facilitating them to the short-term credit and medium-term financing options that is meant with the working capital needs of the pre-shipment and post-shipment phases. These guidelines are framed under the broader regulatory architecture of the Foreign Exchange Management Act. Then types of export credit. Which are the types of export credit? The RBI classified the export credit primarily into two categories based on the stage of export process. One is a pre-shipment credit. We have elaborately discussed this. And second one is pre-shipment credit in foreign currency, either in rupee or in foreign currency. Typically, it is sanctioned for the period up to 180 days. And it is extendable by another period of 90 days and up to 270 days. So interest rates are subject to RBI's guidelines on interest subvention or interest equalization scheme covered under interest equalization scheme also. In case of post-shipment also, RBI has permitted the authorized dealer banks to use the co-shipment credit as bridge or the time gap until the realization of the export proceeds is received by the exporters, and under that there will be a negotiation of export bill, there will be an advance against the bill sent on export bill sent on collection basis, or there will be advance against the export on consignment basis, or advance against the duty drawback receivable from the government of India. The credit period is usually up to 180 days from the date of shipment and can be extended under special circumstances. Now, export credit in foreign currency, that is PCFC. PCFC and EEFC. The RBI permits the banks to offer the export credit in foreign currency, that is post-shipment credit in foreign currency scheme, PCFC scheme, allowing the exporters to borrow internationally competitive at LIBOR or alternative to LIBOR linked rates such as SOFR, SOFR plus spread. Then the exporters can also maintain the exchange earners foreign currency accounts, which helps in managing the foreign currency exposure and financing exports. Coming down to understand little bit about the interest equalization scheme, that is IES. The interest equalization scheme is one of the key mechanism that is supported by the RBI, administered by the Director General of Foreign Trade, to make the export credit more affordable to the exporters. This provides the interest subvention of 3% to all MSME manufacturers, reduction in the rate of interest, and 2% to the identified non-MSME manufacturing sectors. So applicable, this is applicable to both at pre-shipment stage as well as post-shipment stage, where the advance is granted in term in Indian rupee, not in foreign currency, right? The RBI mandate bank to pass on this benefit of reduction in interest rate by 3% and 2% directly to the exporters and maintain the accurate record of for the verification and reimbursement from the government. These revised norms with effect from April 1, 2025 requires the exporter to register on DGFT portal for availing this kind of interest equalization scheme. So banks to upload the disbursal details on IES portal, that is import-export portal, for claiming the settlement. Then export credit under priority sector lending. Priority sector is one of the sector where the government has given a most important part, which is serving the more credit available, made more credit available by the government of India through Reserve Bank of India to these sectors. These sectors are very sensitive sectors. Therefore, there will be priority sector lending norms are specifically set up by RBI. So limits are set up to 40 crores per borrower for MSME which are engaged in exports. The lending to the export oriented business is permitted by the banks. So both working capital, pre and post shipment, and term loan for the export infrastructures are eligible under this to the extent of maximum rupees 40 crores. RBI monitors the bank's performance in meeting the priority sector lending target and encourages the support for small exporters. Target at the initial financial year will be set up by the Reserve Bank of India, and it is mandatory for all the banks to achieve that target of lending under priority sector. Right? Now, refinance and liquidity support by RBI. Now, to enhance the export credit availability, especially during the stress period, RBI may provide refinance to the bank against the export credit disbursed. Special liquidity window under the scheme like LTRO, that is long-term repo operation, or targeted credit lines are provided. Then extended realization period from 9 months to 15 months during the exceptional circumstances like COVID 1919 pandemic situation, the period was extended under exceptional circumstances. Then the risk management and monitoring. The risk management, RBI mandates the prudential norms for provisioning the exposure limit and the risk classification of the export credit accounts. The export data processing and monitoring, that is EDPMS, enables the banks and RBI to track the overdue export bills and take the corrective actions. RBI encourages the use of ECGC insurance for credit protection and NPA mitigation. Digitalization and integration with the government platform. RBI facilitated end-to-end digital integration with platforms such as DGFT portal for EBRC, IceGate and custom EDI system for faster credit verification, and trades platform for financing receivable of MSME exports. RBI guidelines on import transactions. Whatever we have seen, that is for export transaction. Now for import transaction also, RBI has issued the guidelines. Right? So under FEMA 1999 Foreign Exchange Management Act, it regulates the foreign exchange transaction related to the import into India. These guidelines ensure that import payments are conducted in that very transparent, legally compliant and secure manner. RBI provides the operational clarity through its master direction on import of goods and services and various other circulars issued to the authorized dealer category 1 banks. First one under the import is authorized dealer AD and import payments. RBI empowers the authorized dealer banks to handle all the foreign exchange transactions related to the import of goods and services. But the importer must route their payments through these banks, which are responsible for conducting the due diligence, ensuring the compliance with the import documentation, and reporting transaction to RBI via import data monitoring system, processing and monitoring system, that is IDPMS. The time limit for settlement of import payment. What is the time limit for settlement? As far as imports are concerned, import payments must be made within 6 months from the date of shipment. Under exceptional circumstances, this can be extended up to 12 months, which is subject to appropriate jurisdiction. And in case of import of books, life-saving drug, equipment and certain other categories, it is extended time limit may be allowed without any prior approval. Then advance remittance for import. Advance remittance for import is normally permitted up to US$500,000 or equivalent without any bank guarantee. For the amount which is exceeding 500,000, AD banks are advised to seek the bank guarantee or standby letter of credit from overseas supplier or international bank of repute, guarantee from international bank of repute. This advance remittance must be backed by the firm purchase order invoice and the goods should be received within 6 months' time. Import of services. In import of services, RBI permits the payment for the import of services such as software, consultancy, legal, research and development. AD banks are required to ensure that the transactions is bona fide and for a permissible purpose only. Then, tax deduction at source, that is TDS and GST, implications are inappropriately handled where it is required from 15 CACB under Income Tax Act is required to be obtained. Then IDPMS, Import Data Process Monitoring System. In that system, the introduction, which is introduced in 2016, and its key objective of introduction of IDPMS is to track the inward remittance versus bill of entry submission by the importer. Then to ensure timely closure of import bill and identify the overdue or suspicious transactions. The importers must submit bill of entry or evidence of import to AD banks within 3 months from the remittance to close the transaction in IDPMS. Import trade credit or buyer's credit or supplier's credit. RBI permits the importers to avail the short-term credit from overseas lenders for financing the imports. The limit is generally up to 1 year for non-capital goods and up to 3 years for the capital goods. All in cost ceiling will be as per the latest guideline linked to the SOFR or the relevance of alternative reference rate, appropriate reference rate of the currency in which invoice is drawn, including the interest, fees, and guarantees charged. The trade credit must be reported via form ECB and the process through the AD bank. Then payment for imports in INR under INR trade settlement mechanism. As per the RBI circular dated July 11, 2022, importers may settle their international trade in Indian rupees using the special rupee Vastu account, which is called as special rupee Vastu account opened by the foreign banks in India. This mechanism prompts the rupee internalization, reduces the reliance on the hard currency like USD, and it is permitted with the countries like we have approved arrangement like Russia, UAE and Sri Lanka. Third party payment for import. RBI permits third party payments where a payment is made to the party other than the actual supplier, which is subject to a firm irrevocable tripartite agreement or documentary trail like invoice referencing the third party name. AD bank satisfies on the legitimacy of the arrangement. Then import of gold, precious metal and restricted items. Import of specific items like gold, precious metal, defense goods or items on the negative restricted list requires prior approval of Reserve Bank of India or relevant ministry, for example DGFT. The compliance with the Customs and Bureau of Indian Standards certificate, that is BIS certification norm, has to be complied with. An import under consignment basis is permitted only for the nominated agency or by the authorized dealer banks. Next point is KYC, AML and reporting obligation. AD banks are required to ensure the compliance with the master direction of Know Your Customer, anti-money laundering and combating the financing terrorism, and all import transactions must be reported to RBI through XBRL and IDPMS portal as per the frequency prescribed. Recent regulatory development for 2023 to 2025 consists of enhanced flexibility in payment timelines and the modes for importers during the global supply chain disruptions. Then integration of EBRC and BOE, bill of entry, this data with GSTN and ISGATE for seamless documentation. Again, it is emphasized on the digital trade documentation, e-invoicing and the paperless processing by banks. Trade credit, buyer's credit permitted up to USD 50 million for capital goods. An importer must comply with the anti-money laundering rule and custom regulation import licensing policies. RBI reporting mechanism for the trade finance. An effective trade finance ecosystem generally relies not only on the availability of the credit and regulatory facilitation, but also on the robust reporting and monitoring of mechanism. RBI, through its regulatory powers under the Foreign Exchange Management Act, has developed a comprehensive digital system and reporting protocols to monitor the export and import transactions. RBI reporting these mechanisms to ensure transparency, prevent the misuse of the foreign exchange, and aid to the risk management and helps the central bank formulate the macroeconomics and the forex policies based on the real-time trade data. The Export Data Processing Management System, EDPMS, which is launched in 2014 for the purpose of monitoring the realization of export process. Its key features are that it has integrated data from customs, ICE gates, and authorized dealers, AD bank. It generates the shipping bill number, which is tracked until the full realization of the export proceeds is received. This enables the AD banks to match the inward remittance received by them with the corresponding shipping bill. SB means shipping bill, and monitor the delayed realization beyond the prescribed timeline, that is typically 9 months and above. File the XOS, export outstanding statement, for overdue transaction, which is generated from the EDPMS system itself. Compliance. Exporter must submit the EBRC or electronic BRC realization certificate through their AD bank, and delays in realization require justification or extension for approval. Then Input Data Processing Monitoring System, IDPMS, which was launched exactly 2 years after the EDPMS is launched, that is in 2016. Its purpose is to track the import payment and submission of the bill of entry. It facilitates the end-to-end monitoring of import transaction. It links the remittance data from AD banks to bill of entry filed with the customs. It ensures the timely submission of evidence of import within 3 months from the date of remittance. Its compliance is required because of non-submission of bill of entry leads to the transaction being marked as a follow-up required or overdue. AD banks are mandated to initiate an escalation and reporting to such a cases. Then XOS statement, that is export outstanding statement, filed by authorized dealer banks to report the outstanding export proceeds beyond the permitted realization period, which includes the name of exporter, shipping bill number, date and amount, reason for non-realization, and bank must ensure follow-up action and report to the Reserve Bank of India for overdue cases every half yearly basis in June and December. BF statement is a bill of entry follow-up statement which is applicable when the importer fails to produce the bill of entry within the prescribed timelines. Similarly, to XOS and AD banks are required to report such pending entries to the Reserve Bank of India, which helps to detect the fraudulent and suspicious transaction in import finance. Form A2 and outline and online reporting of the forex transaction. All outward remittances, including those for the trade purposes, must be reported by using the Form A2 submitted online through the bank portal. It captures the nature of transaction, which is code-based, and remitter details and the KYC compliant. Integrated into FETERS, that is Foreign Exchange Transaction Electronics Reporting System, which the RBI uses for forex data monitoring. Then ECB and trade credit reporting. For the purpose of transactions which are involving the external commercial borrowing or the trade credits, reporting is mandatory through the ECB return, which is called as a form ECB, which is a monthly return which is submitted by the borrower to the RBI via authorized dealer category 1 bank. It contains the details of the drawdowns, repayment, interest, charges, and currency of the borrowing. Then loan registration number for external commercial borrowing. This is issued by RBI. Loan registration number is issued by RBI before any disbursement under external commercial borrowing or trade credit happens. This is required for automatic and approval route borrowing. The trade credit reporting. Buyers and suppliers credit must be reported to RBI within 7 days of its drawdown, and AD banks are responsible for verifying end use on compliance with all in cost ceiling norms. Firms portal. Firms means foreign investment reporting and management system. Firms means foreign investment and reporting and management system. While not exclusive to the trade finance, the firms portal is relevant for the trade transactions involving the foreign equity participation or share-based consideration in lieu of the goods and services. So export and import must report under the form FCGPR for the capital inflow against the export of services and goods. Form FCTRS, that is transfer of shares, when the transfer of shares is involved as a part of the trade deals. And next one will be the interest equalization scheme, which we have elaborately seen. The AD banks are required to report all the export related disbursement under IES, that is interest equalization scheme, on interest on the portal, which is maintained by DGFT. Real-time updates are required for loan sanction, disbursement, and claim submission for reimbursement. Then trades reporting for MSME. Under this trade receivable discounting for MSME, banks and NBFCs must report the discounted invoice to RBI, which enables the traceability of the trade credit and extended to the MSME reporters and supports the credit risk monitoring. Other digital compliance system is ICEGATE, EBRC system, XBRL reporting, RBI centralized information, and a management system under CIMS. Centralized Information Management System, that is CIMS. The purpose of all this system, first one is ICEGATE, is ICEGATE system purpose is data exchange with the customs on shipping bill and bill of entry. Shipping bill in respect of export and bill of entry in respect of import. EBRC system. EBRC system is required as a certification of export proceeds for GST and FTP compliance. XBRL reporting is a regulatory reporting for the forex and trade data. And RBI's CIMS is for enhanced real-time analytics and risk detection. The role of Government of India in trade finance. Whatever we have seen, discussed so far, was from the perspective of Reserve Bank of India. Now, we will look into the role of Government of India in trade finance. The Government of India plays a very pivotal role in developing a comprehensive ecosystem that supports trade finance and formulating the policy frameworks, providing the fiscal incentive building infrastructure and fostering the case of doing the cross-border remittances. While Reserve Bank of India is regulating all the monetary and foreign exchange aspects of the trade finance, the government's role is more policy-driven and operationalized through the various ministries, departments, specialized institutions. And these efforts are designed to boost the export, support the import substitution, strengthen the MSME participation, and align the India with the global trade standards. Key government and ministries and agencies involved. Government agency which are involved here is the Ministry of Commerce and Industries, which formulates the foreign trade policy and promotes the export. Another agency is the Director General of Foreign Trade, that is DGFT, which implements the Exim policy and manages the authorization incentive. Ministry of Finance frames the custom policies and GST refund and interest equalization. The Department of Promotion and Industrial and Internal Trade, that is DPIIT, which facilitates the industrial growth and the foreign investment. Export Credit Guarantee Corporation is providing the credit risk insurance for the exporters. And Export Import Bank of India, that is Exim Bank, offers the trade finance and overseas investment support, as well as the small industries and the Development Bank of India, that is SIDBI. It supports the MSME export financing requirement, right? Now, foreign trade policy, we have elaborately seen, there was a separate chapter for that. Only a passing remark, we are seeing that it is launched on April 1, 2023. It is open-ended with a flexible update. Key features relevant to the trade finance consist of promotes the digital and paperless trade finance procedure, introduction of merchanting trade policy for India-based intermediaries, then facilitates e-commerce exports with the simplified customs and clearance and warehousing norms. It offers the status holder recognition and to star, one star to five star export houses. for easier access to the bank finance, and it supports the district as export hub DEH, a program for decentralization of the trade promotes. Interest equalization scheme, as we have seen, it is administered by the DGFT, and it is, as of 2024-25, it provides the interest subvention of 3% for the MSME manufacturer across all the sectors and 2% for exporters manufacturer in identified tariff lines, that is non-MSMEs. It is applicable on pre- and post-shipment INR export credit, and exporter must register on the DGFT portal to avail this interest equalization scheme, and government reimburses the interest differential to the banks, ensuring the affordable financing. Export incentive scheme. RODTEP is one of the scheme, important scheme, which is replaced MEIS, that is reimburses embedded taxes not refunded under GST. ROSCLT is a rebate on the state and central tax levies, which is specially designed for the apparels made on export, that is apparels made up exports, and TIS, that is trade infrastructure for the export scheme. It is providing financial support for developing the export infrastructure, such as testing lab, warehousing, and cold chains. Credit supports and the risk mitigation program. This credit support and risk mitigation program is ECGC's Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India offers the credit risk insurance to the exporters and the banks, and covers the commercial and political risk on both the short-term and the medium-term exports, which is introduced NIRVIK, that is Niryat Rin Vikas Yojana scheme, to enhance the insurance coverage and reduces the premium cost for MSME. Exim Bank of India. This provides the buyer's credit and lines of credit, for overseas buyers and the project export finances and the working capital loan. It supports for India's participation in international development of the project, like in Africa or Central Asia.